morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, March 11th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news stories from around Wyoming. Wyoming lawmakers closed out this year's general session without passing a single affordable housing bill. That despite housing being listed as one of the legislature's top goals. Wyoming Public Radio's Jeff Victor has more.
Wyoming will need more than 20,000 new homes by the end of the decade. That's according to a recent report from the Wyoming Community Development Authority. Six bills proposed by lawmakers this year aimed to make building easier, either by removing barriers or providing funding. But five died without discussion. Representative Christopher Knapp, a Republican from Gillette, closed out a committee hearing last month by apologizing.
This is our last day for getting bills through committee. And to the two bills that didn't get heard, which was House Bill 332 and House Bill 68, I offer my apologies.
House Bill 68 would have expanded tax increment financing, a tool that local communities can use to incentivize the construction of affordable housing. A separate bill would have made it harder for neighbors to stop a housing project from going in next door. But the Senate refused to accept a House amendment restricting a city's ability to charge affordable housing fees. The bill never made it past that standoff. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Jeff Victor.
New federal data shows national parks and recreation areas across our region welcomed a record number of visitors last year. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez reports the news comes amid budget trimming by the Trump administration.
More than 330 million people visited a national park in 2024. Those in the Mountain West were among the most popular destinations. Lake Mead in Nevada saw 6.4 million visits. Zion in Utah, 4.9 million. Yellowstone in Wyoming, 4.7 million. And Rocky Mountain in Colorado, 4.1 million. Tourists are also a boon to local economies, says Neil Desai with the nonprofit National Parks Conservation Association.
The national parks are 1/15 of 1% of our federal budget. They are very efficient and they provide tremendous benefit, including economic return on every investment that we put in.
Desai says recent Trump administration cuts to the National Park Service come at a critical time as people plan their spring break and summer vacations. The Mountain West News Bureau reached out to the service about its cuts and plans for the year ahead, but has not yet heard back. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Yvette Fernandez.
The Teton County Sheriff's Department recently announced that it's changing its detention policies for undocumented immigrants to align with the rest of the state. KHOL's Jenna McMurtry has the details on why the sheriff is backtracking.
Teton County Sheriff Matt Carr shared in a press release Thursday that the county jail will now hold detainees for up to 48 hours upon request by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Carr previously chose not to honor detainer requests from ICE unless a warrant had been signed by a judge. He had cited fear of lawsuits for violating constitutional rights that protect against unreasonable search and seizure. Holding individuals at the county jail longer gives the federal agency more time to pick up detainees, often before sending them to an out-of-state detention center to await a deportation hearing. Carr decided to change course after meeting with federal officers. Jenna McMurtry, KHOL News.
Hundreds of daycares have shut down in Wyoming over the last decade. Now Governor Mark Gordon has signed a bill to give small towns relief if, suddenly, no child care is available. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards reports.
Casey Sedlak says after Du Bois's only daycare closed last year, she and some other moms placed an ad for a nanny to care for multiple families. But then the Department of Family Services told them that wasn't legal.
It was truly crushing. Like, it felt like my heart sank and we didn't know what else to do. It felt like we'd exhausted our options.
The new law allows nannies and babysitters to legally care for two families at a time, up from a single family. Sedlak hopes it'll keep other communities from facing an emergency like hers. But she says lawmakers should recognize lots more work needs to be done to shore up childcare in the state.
You know, I'd love to see some sort of collaborative effort to fund child care centers to make them a sustainable service, like you would rely on the fire department being there or the police being there.
A recent study shows that over 10,000 Wyomingites are unable to go to work because of a lack of child care. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.
The measles outbreak has only struck a remote corner of our region in New Mexico, but federal data shows many states in the Mountain West may be more at risk. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Mertzbach has more.
Public health officials say 95% of a community needs to be vaccinated in order to protect it from measles. Nationwide, the average rate among kindergartners is about 93%. And in the Mountain West, it's just under 90. Colorado, Utah, Nevada, and Arizona are all around there, and Idaho was lowest at about 80%. In our region, only New Mexico and Wyoming are above the national average. Wyoming pediatrician Shelley Springer says she's seeing more families opt out of the measles vaccine.
It's usually part of a whole lifestyle choice, and those people tend to be in more rural areas.
She says vaccinating is the best way to protect especially vulnerable children. Typical symptoms include high fever, rash, and white spots in the mouth. The two people who died in the recent outbreak in New Mexico and Texas were unvaccinated. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with some lighter stories from around Wyoming.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. The Wyoming Department of Transportation's Northeast District's snowplows have been renamed. The Sheridan Press reports fifth graders in the area's counties submitted names like Snokio Drift, Plowboy Joe, Scoop Dog, and Mike Tyson. The winning schools got to visit their local WIDOT office and learn more about snowplows. A Cheyenne East High School senior has put his name in the state wrestling history books. WIO Sports reports Liam Fox recently pinned his way to his fourth state wrestling championship. Only one other wrestler from his school has ever done the same. A Cody filmmaker was invited to the Sundance Film Festival for the debut of a documentary he worked on. The Cody Enterprise reports Preston Randolph has been following the court case of American Indian Movement activist Leonard Peltier for over 15 years. Peltier was convicted of killing two FBI agents in 1975, but Randolph believes Peltier was convicted for political purposes. The Free Leonard Peltier Project covers the efforts that eventually led to former President Joe Biden commuting Peltier's sentence in the final 12 minutes of his term. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's trivia question, what was the first African-American church built in Wyoming and when was it built? Send us your answers for this week's trivia questions to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com. We'll name the winners on Monday. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Join me again tomorrow. And remember to subscribe to get Wyoming Debrief automatically downloaded to your phone and start your day on an informed foot. While you're there, please consider leaving us a review so that other people can find us.